And our casualties were, well, we were sniped at.
Oh, sure, continually.
But anyhow.
So that was the makeup then. Let me see if I've got this right for myself here. The first section of the 250.
Wait a minute. The headquarters section.
They were the first. They were the headquarters section.
No, they weren't the first.
They weren't the first.
They were administrative section.
Okay, there was administrative section.
Headquarters.
Headquarters. With divisional headquarters.
Yes.
Then the first.
Then number one section. Were the fellows with the horses and.
And all the wire, and they'd lay all the wire out.
They'd lay down the wires. They'd be hung up later on poles, but right. They would do that. That's number one.
Then number two was with 1st Brigade.
And
third with 2nd Brigade, and fourth with 3rd Brigade, which is the section that you were in.
That's where I was.
And then what about the last section? Do you recall, were they reinforcements, reserves, or what? Would you recall what they had to do? Because you said there were 6 sections, and that's only 5, including headquarters. Do you recall it all?
Well, there was nothing behind us. No, at headquarters number one. Headquarters and number one were with the division.
Mm-hmm.
Headquarters being the inside people. Number one had the horses and stuff to
lay the line.
From division to brigade headquarters. Then the infantry portion, sections 2, 3, and 4.
Were with the infantry.
They were the infantry, and I was with number four section.
Terrific. I've got that clear. What was it like your first day out there? That's what I got to know. Was it what you had dreamed or anticipated? Was it different? What was your first day on the front like?
Well, it wasn't unpleasant. The weather wasn't too bad.
Was there lots of mud then, do you know?
At the front, where all the shelling was, you know. Shell holes were all filled with.
Well, what happened to you, all those lines you were running when the shells came over? Weren't your communications breaking down all the time due to bombardment, or?
Well, it wasn't as tough that early in the game as later. So we, as far as I'm concerned, why, we just seemed to carry on. We didn't have casualties right away. The Armenteers section was where they put the new beginners.
Oh, I see.
And later on it became a hellhole. But, and you see, we were mixed with British troops.
You'd be under British command, I guess, at the top,
right.
Eh? Yes.
Yes. We were put under a man who afterwards became Governor General of Canada, Lord Byng.
Oh, yes.
And,
Well, what was your job exactly as a private here? Now, you were a private, and you were with the 3rd
well,
Brigade Headquarters.
First of all, I was a soldier.
You were a soldier first.
I had my rifle and my bayonet and all that kind of stuff. And I had ammunition and everything. And I was a specialist. I had taken courses in signaling. And I was a qualified signaler, and I wore cross flags. Well, on the lower left-hand cuff.
On your lower left-hand cuff, then you would have cross flags.
Yes. And I had a blue and white.
An armband, or?
Armband on my right here.
Oh, yeah, like in the picture there.
There I am. This is an officer. I'm a signal officer. I've got to have it. Wear two, one on each arm.
Oh, so when you became an officer, you had to have an armband on each arm then?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I was riding a motorcycle then.
Oh, I see.
Backwards and forwards. Because our establishment of 30-odd included two motorcycle dispatch riders attached from number one section.
Hmm.
Now, where are we at now?
Well, we're right at the beginning when you get into action here. You're with the 3rd Brigade. Now, you said your duties was as a soldier first. You had your rifle and you had your ammunition, and then you were a signaler second.
Yes.
What type of signals would you be doing? Would you be working with officers quite a bit, or were you down in smaller units?
Well, we worked the signal office. The division loaned us 3 men to work every 24 hours to keep in touch with the division. That was not our responsibility. Our responsibility was from brigade to battalion.
Ah.
And there was no signal officer in the battalion. So we were responsible for training infantry men to take care. Well, first of all, we were responsible from brigade to battalion. And then we had some help from the battalions to lay short lines from battalion to Company A, Company B, and Company C, and so on. And in other words, our officer, a lieutenant, was responsible right to the front line.
Right to the front line.
Yes.
But you as a private would be closer to that front line, is that not
Oh yes,
correct?
I'd get... So that was that until we got into the heavy fighting. And that didn't take long.
How long did it take, do you recall? You were there in February 1915.
April.
Till April, eh?
The Germans threw the gas at us.
Were you there at the front when the first gas came?
Oh, hell yes.
What was it like? Was it grim, or did you know what was happening, first of all? Did you know what was
No,
gas?
We had no warning. All we could see was French colonial troops running. They got most of the gas first. And some of us came over on the Canadians, on the right. And then, of course, the Germans came through and they got behind us. And we were cut off for a while. But darkness came to our rescue. And there were some reserve battalions. One battalion in brigade reserve, and other battalions and division reserve. The line didn't get stabilized, but it... Oh yeah, there's a big attack launched about 8 o'clock at night. And we drove them back. And he just hung on. And the reserve brigade were there, but that was a big, big hole over a mile open, and the Germans had gotten to hell now and gone in. But
the fighting was pretty grim, though, eh?
Yes, it was grim.
Well, what was the reaction to the gas? I guess not many people, well, they had no protection against it at this time, did you? Or?
Well, take your handkerchief and piss on it and put that on.
And that would help.
That did help. Some happened to have some liquid, might have been beer or whatever, and they wept with that, but use your handkerchiefs. It was hail on the eyes and so on, but...
Well, I guess it would burn the eyes, wouldn't it, almost? Or burn the lungs, I know.
Well, of course, there's a certain amount of breeze and a certain amount of air moving and things.
Well, did things get really nasty after this point, or were they... Was there any distinct change after the gas came, as far as you were concerned, in attitude or in actual fighting?
The Germans kept up the attack for days and days. We were kept in the line there. We had to back up.
This would be what, the Armateurs? What is the line that we're talking here? Do you recall where you were when the gas hit, approximately?
Ypres.
You were at Wipers then?
Yes.
At Ypres. Did you call it Ypres or Wipers then?
Ypres. Wipers. Some called it Vipers and some called it Wipers. Ypres. Ypres.
Ypres.
What they lay, they still, we were guests of the mayor of Ypres 2 years ago, and who had a lot of giggles over the name of his town.
Oh, well, for the 60th anniversary of Vimy then?
Yes.
Oh, yes, of course. And everyone's calling it Wipers, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, before we get farther along here, I got a question for you. We mentioned the other day, we didn't put it on tape, but what about the pigeons now? Were you using pigeons at this point, or did this come later?
That came later.
So we got strictly a field telephone type operation?
Yeah.
With it combined with a telegraph, or did you bother with telegraph on the front?
Well, that's a good question. These telephones.
Now, these would be the British phones, is that
yes, correct? Yes. These were good phones. But the Germans, we had found out by this time, could pick up our signals. They had listening sets. And in our language, a listening set was given the name of iTalk. You know, in the signals alphabet, A, B, C, ACK, B, R, C, DAWN, D, E, F, iTalk comes to you. These are what you get through reading flags and so on, Morse code. So that was kind of mixing at the time.
Well, how would you combat against that? The Germans listening in.
Well, the British evolved phones that they couldn't pick up. The Germans turned around and invented machines that could still pick it up. And that kept going on and on throughout the war.
So you kept changing equipment because of the new technology.
Yes. We were getting theirs.
What, the Germans?
We were getting theirs, yes. By these things, I talks. They were listening devices.
Well, how did they work? Did you know how they worked? Or?
Not particularly, because men from one of the other sections of the 1st Canadian Divisional Signal Company, technicians, they would be attached to each infantry brigade section to do that work. And their pickings would be furnished to division and actually build up a newspaper.
Intelligence network daily.
Yes. Yeah, there's a intelligence squads. They were wearing, the officers wore a green instead of a red tab. They were the people who took care of that sort of stuff. They had their own forces.
But now, so we got telephones. You didn't use telegraph very often, is that correct? Or would you use it for special occasions, or what was the...
As I say, we had three telegraph operators from number one section, 1st Canadian Divisional Signals, whose job was to work 8 hours a day each, every day, to keep contact up with the 1st Canadian Division.
But that was just for division, not for when you're doing battalion to brigade.
Yes.
So
yeah, those men, of course, they came under the brigade signal officer.
Ah, yes, of course.
I say all this because when the Battle of Ypres was finished, and we were taken out Captain Ford, both sergeants were gone, and Captain Ford had us together. There was only 8 or 10 of us left.
This would be when, sir, after April?
Yeah, and he said, McMurray, you're a sergeant. We can't give you stripes now, but you're, and Corporal Norton, you're a sergeant. In other words, he made me the senior. And the other Norton, the corporal, he was gone. He was wounded and moved out. Well, then reinforcements started to come in. And we went back in the line.
This would be when, do you recall, sir?
Oh, inside a week.
But what month are we talking here?
I'm talking about April 1915.
We're talking April 1915, just after the big attack.
Yes.
So you were promoted in the field, I guess they call that, to sergeant.
Yes, yes.
In the signals, did your duties change by this promotion?
Well, naturally, I didn't have to work shifts. I had to supervise shifts.
What about your soldiering? Did that change?
There was two sergeants. Two sergeants, two corporals, and two lance corporals to each section, and that took care of the entire brigade.
Now, you didn't remain a sergeant very long, did you, or did you? I'm trying to think here, because you were promoted in the field as well. Or does this come much later, or what's the sequence on that?
I'm promoted from the 5th of February, 1916.
Well, you spend a fair time, though, for the rest of 1915, though. After April 15, you're a sergeant in the brigade,
yes.
though.
Then on the 5th of February, 16, I became a lieutenant, signal officer, 1st Infantry Brigade.
What happened there? You were saying that the officer had something funny to say or tried to tell you you were lax in your duty?
Mm-hmm.
You were telling me last day there was the officer who promoted you had some funny way of going about doing it. Do you recall you had to parade in front of him and...
Oh, well, I hit him, didn't I? That was George Klein. He was... Ford was... Actually, the boss, he was a major. Klein was, we used to call him, in the ranks, we used to call him Heine. Because he's of German extraction, coming from a German portion of Ontario, around Waterloo.
Ah, yes.
Oh, he turned out to be the best friend I ever had. I think you read what he said about me.
Yes, I did. Well, now, when did you win your MC, though? You were awarded the... This is the Psalm, though. Which...
The Psalm.
Was it at the Psalm that you got your MC? That's your military cross at the Psalm?
Yes,
Yeah. Well... I guess I better get back in order here, otherwise I'm going to be in trouble.
Well, there's a military cross there. Canadian Corps Routine Orders of 11th of September 1916.
Well, we better get back into 1915. I'm jumping ahead, and I must apologize for that. From April 1915 to the first part of 1916, before you were promoted to an officer, to lieutenant, I'm trying to get in my mind, now as a sergeant you had whole new responsibilities, then you had to supervise as opposed to doing the actual work.
Yes.
Now, the battle would be getting larger all the time, I guess, is
yeah,
that correct?
Yeah.
More men all the time?
That's
were the casualties
right.
getting heavier as well, or?
Well, no, there was some quiet times.
Very quiet, eh?
It all depend on time of year, the weather, and a lot of stuff like that.
But your equipment changed at this time, though, periodically.
It was improving.
It was continually improving.
Gradually improving.
Gradually, not continually.
Yeah.
And then your job then more or less was just to keep your eye on the rest of the privates under your command in the signals.
Yes.
Now what about your soldiering duties? Were they the same, or were they different now that you were a
well,
sergeant?
There's two things there. When you're in the line or when you're out of the line. When you're in the line, sergeants, they do the load of the supervision. The officer can't because he's even got to take over that portion at no man's land from the... in advance of battalion headquarters.
So you would supervise. What regiment was, what were the soldiers in the regiment of this brigade, or was it just known as the 1st Brigade, or the 3rd Brigade you were with, I'm sorry?
Well...
Was it a particular regiment that was in, the regiments involved in that?
Right,
brigade?
Right.
And which regiments were they, do you recall?
They were not... They were numbered.
They were numbers, they weren't names.
I'll give it to you.
Okay.
1st Infantry Brigade, 1, 2, 3, 4. All from Ontario.
So regiments, 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, they were different parts of Ontario. One of them, for instance, the 3rd, was the Queen Joan Rifles. But don't get mixed up. They were numbered.
They were numbered.
1, 2, 3, 4. Four battalions to a brigade. Then the 2nd brigade, 5, 5th, 7th, 8th, and 10th. Two battalions were cut off there for some reason or other. So, repeat again, the 5th, 7th, 8th, and 10th. Actually, the 5th was from Saskatchewan, the 7th was from British Columbia, the 8th was the Little Black Devils of Winnipeg, and the 10th was from Calgary. But that was...
And that would make up the 2nd Infantry Brigade.
That's, yes.
Now, you were in the 3rd.
I was in the 3rd. Okay. I was paraded before the general commanding the 3rd Infantry Brigade, who insisted that I take a commission.
Do you recall his name at all?
Eh?
Do you recall his name, this general?
General Turner, Victoria Cross.
Well, this was General Turner. Well, he'd been promoted from colonel. He was a colonel before, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, then he became, I see.
He became Brigadier General. And he had said to Ford, that man should have a commission. Of course, that didn't come out in that way. Ford came to me and said the general wanted to see me. And then
this
general,
is Major Ford at this time, is that correct?
Yes, maybe. Yes.
So you went to see the general?
No, he was still a captain.
Oh, he was still a Captain Ford then?
Yes, he's still a brigade. Later on, he became the OC at division and got his crown.
I see.
Lost his 3 stars. But anyhow...
So the General Turner wanted to see you?
Yes. The General said I was not pulling my weight. And I told him I didn't understand. And he said, you should have a commission. So I said I was quite happy as a sergeant with my friend Norton. So Ford was asked, could Norton handle a commission? Oh, yes, he said. He and McMurray are equally qualified. All right, send them both away. So we were sent away to Boulogne that night in motor cars and had checks for $250 each to buy uniforms. Went to Hawkes, the tailor in London, and the following day and had the uniform made. In 6 days we were back again in the line. And
but you got 6 days leave in 1915 then, eh? Or this is early 16-ish.
Yes.
You'd have 6 days leave.
Kit leave. Kit. K-I-T.
K-I-T. Kit leave.
Yeah. Then back. And back we see the general and...
Now you'd be what, a second lieutenant at this time?
Or no,
a
no.
Lieutenant?
Not. We had no such thing in the Canadians. The British, yes. I was a 2-star man.
2 pips.
Yeah. 2 stars and then the it was shown down here, you see.
On the sleeve.
Yeah. There I am in my new uniform. And the Canadian Signal Corps badge there. But down here, just like there.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Now, I am in that picture there. You can see there, there's my 2 stars showing there.
Oh, I see. So your pips were worn on the bottom as well.
No,
you
no.
Oh, you didn't wear them on the collar. Of course, you wore them on the sleeve. Then that's right. Of course.
Yes.
Of course. Well, I think we've done it pretty well today. I don't know. What do you think, sir? I think that's pretty good. And if I can impose on you to come back one more time,
okay.
I think we'll be able to, try and get the the part where you were on the Somme and what it was like and your responsibilities as an officer, and work our way from there, if that's okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much, sir.